I think that we're making progress. I certainly think that, it is a continuous issue, and it's going to have its ebbs and flows, and, you know, we go up and down with the numbers, but we just have to make sure that we're always concentrating and focusing on trying to keep as many people in our academy as we can and retain, retain the ones that we have. I think that we're making some good progress with that regard. Our attrition numbers for this calendar year are probably less than half of what they were for last calendar year at this point, halfway through. Not of last calendar year, but the previous year, we're at less than half of that right now. So we're looking, you know, pretty good with as far as attrition.
Did I follow you when you said that when you came in, I think there were 46, you got down to zero, and then, of course, some have come since then. How is that? Why has that happened?
Well, we were at 52 when I started, and that was in July. By May, we had gotten to zero. A lot of things have to happen just right. Back then, the job market wasn't as good as it is today. It's one thing, but then there were some other things that increased the amount of overtime, the inmate hospitalizations and some of those things that increases the overtime. And when you start increasing overtime, some of your new staff, that's a working condition that's very tough for them, because we do have mandatory overtime. We have mandatory posts on every shift that have to be covered. And so the numbers start growing. And then when we throw the increase in inmate hospitalizations in and some of the other things, and then some untimely retirements, and then we lose a few to the local police, which is a good thing. You know, I'm glad that they can go on and work for the police department. You know, so as those numbers, even if it's 6, 7, 8 people, that has a big effect. And it has a big effect on overtime, which then increases the other staff having to work and, becoming more disgruntled with it. So it can, going the wrong direction can happen very quickly. And sometimes it's hard to get it, get the brakes on it and start the other direction.
I don't think anyone asked this question today, but does inmate behavior affect much on on vacancies?
Well, certainly inmate behavior on a daily basis is difficult to deal with. We do have unruly inmates, and our staff have to deal with them on a daily basis. It can certainly add to stress-related parts of the job. And then some people get in and realize pretty quickly in that environment that they're just not cut out for that kind of work, to have to do the types of things that they have to do to physically deal with inmates or to work in that environment. It's a tough environment to work in.
Tell me a little bit about your mentorship program that is that officially going to start in a bit?
Well, yeah, Captain Jones is spearheading that for us, and I talked to him this morning, and he feels like that we're about 30 days out of getting that, being ready to implement that. There will be a curriculum involved with it, and like I said, we'll start out slow with it, but I think that we need to find ways that we can stay associated and give attention to our new supervisors and our new staff, our new correctional officers. They want that attention. They want, it's like you can't just put me through training, put me out here and let me learn, let me figure it out. I think that certainly we have to do that to a degree once you've been through all of the training, but we also have to stay connected to them and understand, some of the issues that they're dealing with. The stress related, and sometimes just having a group atmosphere or somebody that's reaching out to you and talking to you about it helps, on a consistent basis.
And I think you mentioned maybe longer term, it'd be nice to have a kind of a wellness staff person.
I think it would. I think that down the road, maybe that's something that we could look at, that would coordinate physical wellness and physical health, fitness, with the mental side of things and coordinating all that together, and then the training curriculum and the knowledge part of it, and sort of just tying all of that in together, to give us a staff wellness expert kind of a deal. I think that would work out well.
Mm-hmm.